You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Shane Knighty, who's our buddy from TSM back in the day, and he's been down here calling games for the Golden Knights for the past couple of years. He has joined us in studio. What's happening, Shane?
Not much. Yeah, I made the switch Winnipeg to here. It was
a bit of a change.
Weather's a little different, but yeah, it's been good.
How'd that happen, by the way? Were you kind of sniffing around in the position, or
yeah,
did they come to you? Or I always wonder. Basically, I'm jealous because they didn't call me. But how did it all come about?
Well, you know what? I had no idea the process, but they had a lot of applicants, a lot of people threw their hat in the ring, and it was just something that I thought would be an excellent opportunity. You're going to the entertainment capital, chance to call games. I did not expect what happened last year. I expected a long, tough, painful first season. But it was a long process. Really didn't know about getting the job till early August. So it was a race to get down here once they hired me. But no regrets whatsoever. I absolutely love the city, the team, and for us coming from Canada, the other thing that really attracted me about coming down here was growing the game of hockey, which it is absolutely booming here, especially when you look at the kids.
That's what I was going to ask you. When I went to Carolina, it was so fun to see like the little junior Hurricanes programs, and then ultimately now I think there's guys that are from North Carolina that are making it to the NHL. So it must be fun to see those teams and just different people have their kids excited about the game. Here.
Well, absolutely, and it is, and I think they were near the bottom in the U.S. for learn to skate programs, right. And I think they've jumped 10 spots just in 1 year.
That's awesome.
They've announced another facility is getting built in Henderson, another two-sheet ice, very similar to what they have at City National Arena, where the Golden Knights practice out of. But yeah, for me, it is. We start. My son plays, so he played on the Junior Golden Knights AA team. He switched to playing. They started their first middle school and high school team in Nevada at their school. Actually, the team that he was on, he didn't go with them, but they're actually in Quebec right now. So the Pee Wee AA team's in that huge Pee Wee Quebec tournament. So there's lots of representation. I think kids are seeing it now, and the Golden Knights that has swung the movement without question. Mm-hmm. And just the passion people have for hockey here is incredible.
Shane Knighty in studio, color analyst for the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah, I mean, we've been asking people the past couple of days who we've been talking to who live down here now. We had Kelly McCrimmon in yesterday.
Right.
We asked them, based on what you're expecting, the reputation of Vegas and how I'm sure you had been here a bunch of times, but obviously probably not for business necessarily back in the day.
Oh, no.
How do you perceive the city now that you live here and you work here? Like, how much has your attitude towards the city changed?
Oh, it's changed. Well, I always loved it, but I never saw anything but one strip of the city.
Right.
And I really didn't even see much of the outside, to be honest with you. I'd probably been here 14 times. And when I go, it's full throttle. So a lot of it was inside, and when you woke up, you see a little bit of sunshine. But now that I've come and you see the surrounding areas. I mentioned Henderson. We live out in Summerlin, where most of the team and their facilities are. It's beautiful. Red Rock Canyon Mountains are in our backyard. There's hiking. The thing I've learned, and people don't know, well, there's teachers and there's lawyers and there's doctors. And, it's an actual city that people live in. And probably the best way I put about it, when you talk to people that have lived here and are really passionate about being from Vegas, the thing that always bothered them was the stereotype. You go around and they'd say, oh, you're from Vegas. Oh, the Strip. Now I think they take so much pride and passion. They say, where are you from? Vegas. Oh, the Golden Knights. It really gives them a sense of ownership having that team here. And last year when they came in, the Vegas-born slogan and all that, people have really bought into, and it's great for the game of hockey.
How did this area, all that we've been hearing from everybody, I guess everybody lives in Summerlin.
Yes.
How did this... Like, is there like a real estate agent that got involved in this and was like, I got great deals on houses in Summerlin, or is it the practice facility?
I don't know.
How did this one area get selected for all you guys to live?
It's where they built the arena, right? City National Arena. So it's where they selected. The owner lives out here. So, and there's a bunch of Howard Hughes company developments going on that really took over, there's the highway that goes around, and now they're building out towards the mountains. It's nonstop. A lot of people coming up from California for tax reasons. Huge tax benefits living here, which is nice. And it's grown. You talk to people, like, literally, you know, 10 years ago, a lot of the stuff wasn't there. And not only the city of Niagara, they just built a 10,000-seat AAA ballpark right beside it that's going to open in April, I believe. So it continues to grow, and it seems to be the place to be. There and Henderson are probably the two most popular areas, you know, surrounding the Vegas Strip.
I know the real estate agents love it because it's like you're generally dealing with one or two of them that know the area, know all the guys, and
they're just making
that's the sales pitch. This is where the team lives.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All the whole team lives out there.
Well, and it's a great, and you know, I think, you know, Odog probably knows this. When we play, I remember playing in Atlanta. We had to do our, at times we'd be able to do our morning skates right in Duluth where everybody lived, but sometimes they wanted you to go downtown for morning skate. Then you get a day room. Here, they do everything at City National Arena, which is about 5 to 10 minutes from majority of players.
I don't know about
drive.
You, but I like the
day rooms?
No, I like the morning skate at the big rink for some reason. I just like in the building.
I mean, when I played for the Rangers, we did everything in Rye. And then just played at
Madison
Square
what they're doing
Garden.
Here, and it's a perfect setup for that.
Yeah.
But it's not too far for guys to drive in for the game.
No.
That's a difference. With MSG, we actually had day rooms right beside MSG.
Yeah, Atlanta did the same thing.
That was frustrating because you actually, if you had a game day routine or you have a family in town, you're checking into a hotel at noon for a game day.
Imagine this guy with a day room.
There are some guys who enjoy day rooms. Yeah, day room on the strip. Yeah, there you go. It's a Cosmo.
I'll say this, though. I'm old enough to play in the minors against the Las Vegas Thunder. So we had a rule playing in Vegas, you had to be in your room by 2:30 that day to give yourself a nap. Because we had guys who would be late for warm-up because they'd get on a heater. I'll never forget, I had a defenseman named Rod Miller. Guy's just a gritty stay-at-home defenseman.
Rod the Bod.
Late, like, comes in at 6 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. Sorry, guys, got on a heater at the hotel.
Yeah.
What year was that? So I played against Thunder, would have been 97, in the IHL, Grand Rapids.
I
remember
IHL.
Coming here. It was my first time here, staying at the Luxor.
Yeah.
I remember we lost, and Davey Allison, our coach, was so mad. He was pissed. So he stood at the front door, and I was like a young kid then, and I remember one of the veterans, Kerry Huffman, said, just wave as you go by. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's what you can go ahead and do that.
Shane Knighty in studio.
I always just love that. The coach sitting in the lobby waiting to
There's so many.
Like, what are you looking at?
So heroic.
Well, we were talking about that last night. The Leafs got out of here immediately. Like, why not stick around in Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, they play really well. They won last night.
Or just have a rule. Have some fun
Joe Quenneville, the Chicago would be here for like a week. he loved this city. Like, Chicago. And they used to come to Vegas like
every year.
Every year, yeah.
They had that Vegas trip. They would go and get rinsed in Alberta. Like, lose 9-1 in Calgary. Lose 8-2 in Edmonton, and they would still be in Vegas for four days off.
He would be looking at some ponies on TV screens in Vegas 8 hours later.
And the track is in Japan, and Q's got like just a paycheck.
Yeah, and you talk about everybody managing, micromanaging. You're talking about one of the best coaches in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
He had no problem. Take your P's and Q's from him. Exactly. Shane Knighty in studio. We're always, you know, curious to get the take from you know, someone that's not watching the Leafs all the time. When they roll in, who's the player that you guys focused on the most when you were talking, you know, during the pregame and the build-up? I'm sure you talk about the Golden Knights a lot, but is it Matthews?
Well, for me, it was Matthews because he was injured last time, so we didn't get a chance to see him. And, I try to keep tabs on the whole league, and Toronto's a team, to me, that really sticks out because, you know, I think maybe because I covered Winnipeg and it was the Matthews Line A draft, so, you know, there's always going to be that comparison with me. And I watched Toronto and the way they built the team, and it's very similar to Winnipeg. You look at the draft picks, the solid core of those teams. Sure, they've got some good veteran guys around, but the speed and talent they have up front, it makes me glad that I'm standing between the benches for the game rather than on the ice when I look at the speed of the game, especially a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs and what Austin Matthews can do. And you know, he was number one and deservedly so, and there's not even a doubt in my mind. Like, he is such a commanding player out there. His shot, his release, I don't think we talk about that enough, but everything else he does, his strength on the puck, his maturity level is beyond his years. And I think that's why, you know, I really focus on him, and also Tavares, whatever, I still don't know which way he's pronouncing it. Yeah, it does. You know, obviously what he's done this year, Mitch Marner, I think is a delight. I thought Nylander really is Looks like he's starting to come around.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, I covered him at the Worlds when Sweden was dominating, and he stood out there. So I, you know, I like a lot of the young talent. When you got a guy like Kadri on the third line center, you know you're a deep team. So.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking about that to start off the show. Like when Tavares signed here, what we saw last night was what people were envisioning, like a two-headed monster. Because I thought Tavares had a great night. Matthews was outstanding.
And you guys can tell me more. I really like that line, and I don't know as much probably as you guys, but Zach Hyman's ability to control that puck down low. I know, you know, like
but
he works
player.
On that
he's
line. Like he's the go guy, right?
Yeah.
He's the first. I think that's a real good setup. Sure, you'd maybe like to have a guy with a little more skill for those guys, but I think what he brings to that line really helps them, you know, the other two guys.
He never takes a shift off either.
No, he doesn't.
He goes and gets it every time it goes
strong.
In the corner, and he goes and gets it. He's strong, and he's real effective. He might not have the finish around the net, but, man, he gets those guys a puck.
And then now Toronto, to me, he's got a Norris Canada defenseman.
Yeah, Riley's
You look at Morgan Riley, everybody's going to look at the goal. To me, I look at that defensive play made on Will Carey at the key time, almost breaking in for, trying to break in on all alone. And he's just another player they drafted that, and a defenseman takes a little more time than a forward.
Shane Knighty in studio. In terms of the Western Conference, how does Vegas stack up with, Winnipeg, Nashville, San Jose? Are they in that category for you, or just kind of a step below?
Not the way they're playing now. No,
right.
No, they're not there yet. I think Winnipeg, as you mentioned, those teams are at another level. That's the top of the Western Conference now, and for Vegas, they've got a lot of things to worry about before considering themselves top. Right now, they've got the third in the Pacific. They've got Vancouver chasing them. I think 7 points behind. Calgary and San Jose are starting to. I don't know if they can catch them. Really, unless they go on a real run, but Vegas has really got to figure out their game, and I think they can compete with those teams. I don't know in a 7-game series. We'll have to wait and see, but there's some room for improvement in a lot of areas of their game.
It's funny that we're talking about this, and we actually spoke about it yesterday with Kelly McCrimmon. Like, what is this team? It's crazy that you're a year and a half into past expansion, and again, you could be buyers at the deadline.
Yeah.
Like, where is this team as far as you said? So they're a step below those three, but certainly a step above, the mess that's going on in the West. Are they going to be looking at guys like, Duchesne, Stone, anybody on the market to try and battle those teams above them?
I don't know if this year if they're going to be as aggressive. I think last year the reason they maybe forced it is they had surplus of picks, and I think the team earned that opportunity them to go out and add.
Yeah.
And when a team earns that, which they did, and it's strange for me, and I'm sure Leafs fans sitting there, we're a year and a half in, and people are like, what kind of team are they? And the year and a half in, they're still in a playoff position. We're not talking about them fighting for anything. They're probably right where they deserve to be, third in the Pacific. Kind of in the middle. They've got a good lead on the team behind them. They don't know if they can catch the team up top, but they'll look at all options. I don't see them going out looking for a rental type player. You mentioned the Duchesne, the Stone. There need to be a contract or something worked out in that situation. And let's, I look at their depth. To me, they're one top nine forward off, and we always forget this happened in the game against Toronto. 29 goal scorer last season, Eric Halla, has been out since that game. Like that addition of one more player really would round out their top nine, and I think that's maybe what's been missing a little bit this season.
Shane Knighty in studio. We talk about all the Canadian teams a lot. I mean, we talk predominantly about the Leafs, but a lot of the Canadian teams, and Edmonton is a team that we get to all the time, and they're in the same division as Vegas. What's your read on what's going on with Edmonton? And I mean, is it with McDavid and how great he is, but the rest of the team is just a mess right now.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate because, I don't think I've ever paid for an NHL ticket, but if I did, it would be to watch Connor McDavid. They got the fastest player in the world, but I don't think they might be the slowest team. It is. They've got to rework a lot of things there, and it's a culture. There's a culture there that they have not been able to break. It just seems guys come in and, I don't know how to explain it, but, maybe I was fortunate in my career. When I started with Ottawa, we had very good teams, so you learn to win. You learn those habits, and it carries on through your career. A lot of these guys drafted come into that organization, and then they make moves, and it seems like guys just fall off. And You know, hey, Milan Lucic, horrible year. I don't know what they're going to do there. Good friend, but, man, it's not working out. Like, yeah. Those type of moves just have not paid. That type, you know, Peter Shirelli, great, but, you know, he's building a team that style that won in 2011. Well, that right. style isn't going to win you anymore.
Well, you were around that. You were yes. you were in Boston. Yeah. Like, talk about the difference between that scenario and today's game. I mean, yeah. you just spoke about Lucic and Shirelli. I mean, Shirelli, people look at him now like he's a fool. And yeah. and it's, you know, you won with Shirelli. You've won with players like that. Is it just a scenario where he just miscalculated the league or too late? Like, what do you
I think so. I think the adjustment was there.
Shane, if you just have a bigger team, and if it's a half a step slower in the corner to a puck, it goes to the other corner, there's a half a step. It's a half a step slower to the point. Ultimately, it's going to end up in your net. All those half a step slower, it just ends up in your net. It's very simple.
It was the kind of the fat, I don't know if fat, but that was the style that was winning then. Boston, you look at the Kings, Daryl Sutter, those type of systems were winning then. Now you're seeing the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Capitals, you know, Chicago, the way they play. That's where the trend's gone now, and you need to be that quick team. You need to be deep. You can't have just two line scoring lines. You got to have lines like the Leafs, like, or you have Kadri on the third. You've got to be able to have that depth, that speed, that skill. And the other thing that concerns me about the Edmonton Oilers, guys, is if I'm interviewing for that GM position, am I in charge?
That's what I
exactly.
keep saying.
Who's
Nobody
in
knows.
Charge?
I think it's
Nobody
the owner.
Knows.
Who is in charge there? Like, how many more guys do they need on staff? And great players, but I think that's the big root of the problem. There is they've somebody comes in. I think it's just clean house. Let him take over and give him that opportunity. I don't know if a GM has had that there.
We've talked about that. I don't know how many times.
Yeah, I think we all concede the same.
We concede the same thing. The problem is if. And I'm not suggesting it's just one problem, but if the owner is the guy who's allowing this to, you can't fire the owner. Like, the owner has to allow the new person to have autonomy, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And if that doesn't change, then he's going to have his fingers all over the new guy. The new guy has to have some spine and some jam to say, write me a check and then go away, and I'll take care of the mess. But it's his toy.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants in the end.
It's the owners. Then we can talk about Ottawa next.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, we're not.
We'll leave that one alone. Shane Knighty in studio. We missed out on an opportunity yesterday. We had Kelly McCrimmon in here, and we talked about this last week. Porcupine Plains is probably our favorite little town, home of the Chases, Clarks and Koshers, and how tough it is. And we goof around on the show where if you're like a hipster from Toronto and you rolled into a bar there and said something stupid,
get your ass kicked.
You get dummied and dragged out of the bar. And we kind of developed this into a bit of a bit with Ontario and smaller, gritty, tough towns. You're a Manitoba guy.
Yes.
Can you give us a Manitoba town where you have to know your lane? And if you...
Best behavior.
Oh, go to my hometown, Neepawa, Manitoba. It's a town of 4,000. I always explain, they said, what was it like growing up? I said, have you seen the movie Dazed and Confused? Basically, we drive around, you'd cruise go through the one stoplight in town, you drive out by the ice cream thing, turn around, you wait until you found a good party to go to, you go out to some farmland. I remember one guy had a meat truck. His dad owned the meat place, and so he had the great speaker. So he'd roll it up, he'd come out, everybody'd give a dollar at the party, and he'd roll up the back of the meat truck, and there's a big system there, a pound, and there, you know, it's always guaranteed to be fights, you know, at time. There's one bar in town. There was two, but one burned down. But then I remember Minnedosa, which was about 20 minutes away. There used to... It got really bad. The cops had to come in. Like, if you drove in and you're from out of town, you get beer bottles chucked at your car. Like, if you tried to cruise through. So, yeah, I know
angry
exactly.
Angry people.
Small town, man. Small town.
See, my dad's from Gimli.
Oh, I know Gimli. It's outside. That's fancy, though. They got a lake and everything. It's beautiful.
I thought whiskey is from up there or something. But, yeah, I always thought that was a gritty city. But sounds like there's...
No, you gotta get into the farmer area and all.
There's some options in Manitoba.
Some tough guys there that, And it's funny, now I grew up with their dads were the tough guy. Now it's like their sons are running the town when I go back.
Wow.
Well, thank you for joining us in studio, man. We really appreciate you popping by and Enjoy your lifestyle down here in Vegas. It seems like a great setup, and they got a good team again. Year two, you guys are going back to the playoffs, so they're going back to the playoffs. So,
well, we hope so. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Glad you guys made it down.
Oh, we're having a blast, man. We got to get out before we get in bigger trouble down here. There's Shane Knighty, formerly of TSN, longtime NHLer and a color analyst down here with the Golden Knights. We'll get into this Colin Kaepernick story. We'll get to future headlines. We're live in Vegas. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. We did not realize that we were coming back, and you were you were basically breaking down all the details of this evening, what your plan is before you jump on a bird.
Yeah.
But that's fine. It's all good. Hey, once we get through the show, it's
we're home free. We can do whatever we want.
And I loved every second, but the heat in the studio has really gotten to me today.
Yeah,
and it has sucked the life out of me. I don't know what
it feels like. We're doing a remote in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the desert in July.
I'm not even kidding you. I walked outside and I just wanted to gear down naked and just air myself out for 4 minutes.
Melanin Fridays brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Go to 1in100.net. We'll get to future headlines in a moment. We haven't touched on this Colin Kaepernick story because it's still developing, but the truth is I don't know if we're ever going to get the details on the development because Kaepernick and the NFL settled their lawsuit today and the collusion, and this has been such a polarizing topic. Because,
by the way, what is the settlement?
Well, no one knows because they signed the confidentiality agreement. I still think it'll get out. So TMZ will break
somebody,
this.
Somebody wrote to our show. I don't know how they
get speculation.
Speculation's 80 sheets.
Yeah, that's what...
80 million.
That's what I think Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report said he had heard from people throughout the league, and they're speculating between 60 and 80 million the league has paid Kaepernick, basically to shut up and drop the lawsuit and then sign on the dotted line, confidentiality, and you can never talk about this again. So,
man, that's...
I think that's
something if those numbers are accurate.
I think it... I always believed that something was going... Like, Kaepernick, he's a good enough player, he should have had a job. I mean, we talked about it.
Right.
Jay Peterman was throwing picks and getting jobs and getting picked up in Oakland. And, like, there's no way Nathan Peterman is a better quarterback than Kaepernick. There's no chance.
Right.
And I think this is an admission that something was going on. But I think in the end, taking emotion out of it and hot takes out of it, this is a win for the NFL because $80 million to them is nothing.
It's nothing. They just make him go away.
It's nothing.
That's it.
And that's the truth, is to get Colin Kaepernick to sign a confidentiality agreement and to avoid owners and Goodell going on the stand and testifying and maybe some ugliness popping up, $80 million for them makes all the sense in the world. And they're not going to have to publicly admit any wrongdoing. Everyone just shuts up now. Here's $80 million. We're done. So, you know, Kaepernick and his stance, it's been polarizing for the longest time because it's a heavy topic. It's involving race and police brutality and the flag and the anthem. We all know it.
Right.
And the people that love and support Kaepernick will say this is a big win for him. The people that have always hated on him and his stance are going to say this makes him look bad because he's not outing anything.
He's just accepting money, yeah.
It's, you know, that, and that's not going to change. That wasn't going to change because of this. But in the end, I think the fact that he's going to sign it, and he did sign it, and this is it. It's not going public. The NFL, I think, is probably pretty happy, even if it is $80 million. They print money. Print money. $80 million spread around the 32 owners is nothing for them.
They pay their commissioner $50 a year.
Exactly. It's nothing for them. And it'll be interesting to see the future of Colin Kaepernick, to see now where he goes, because, you know.
Yeah, what does he do now? Does he still... Like, this guy hasn't played football in a couple of years now.
Right, exactly.
Does he still have interest in that? Would he be, like, would he garner any interest?
I don't see it in the NFL.
No,
I think now it's over.
It's over. He's accepted money from them to go away. That would be my... So he's going to go away and be a political activist. He's going to be an activist for his cause. But he cannot implicate the NFL.
Right. And that's how I see it. And I don't, you know, this story came out recently about what he was looking for, how much money we would need to play in these new leagues, these spring leagues.
Right.
Truthfully, if you've had a taste of the NFL and you know you're not getting back into it, you're not going to play at some other league.
I don't think this guy wants to play.
No, I don't think he does either, but I can understand why he wouldn't. He's been out now for 2 years. Nike's paying him a fortune. Now the NFL's about to hand him over maybe 60 million, 80 million. Yeah. Probably like, all right, now I've become something different. I'm not a football player anymore. He's an activist in many ways.
Didn't somebody we had in studio say they saw him and he's lost a lot of body mass because he's not working out?
Right, which is probably, you know, understandable if that is the case. He's never been a big guy anyway. He's, you know, kind of a tall, lanky guy. But
yeah, I mean, if you haven't played a pro sport in 2 years... Like, it's tough to make a comeback.
I sat out for 1 year and tried to make a comeback, and it was.
But you tried to make a comeback to the NHL. You wouldn't be trying to make a comeback to
Europe or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I give a lot of credit to a guy like Matt Stajan, who's been in the NHL for a long time.
1,000 games,
and he went over to Europe to finish it out. I'm like, what is your motivation to go over there? But he had to get it out of his system, so all the power to him.
Right. Well, I can understand that because, you know, Stage is at the end of his career.
Right.
Right. Like, he knew, okay, I'm not going to get an NHL job, but someone else will employ me. He's making money over there. He's not playing for free in Europe.
He'll probably go back next year, too.
But he probably will. Carlo did that. Koliakova did that for a couple of years.
But some guys have it in their system. Like, I was going to retire, and I got a call from Magnitogorsk. You want to play? Okay. Went over there, didn't like it, ended up in Japan. But you have to get hockey out of your system because once you're done, you're done.
You're done, man.
And you don't want to look back and go, God, I wish I would have played one more year or done something. Like, your body clock only allows a certain length. And I respect a guy like Matt Stajan a ton because I'm sure he's got a lot of money saved. Smart guy. And, you know, he's got a young family. But he wanted to continue to play. And he's over playing in Munich. Red Bull Munich. I called his game the other day. It was in the finals.
Right.
They lost in the finals.
Year too.
He had a great season for them. I guarantee you he could go back next year. But the one thing I would say is it's what is he gonna do moving forward? And I had great advice near the end of my career, and I'm sure you were the same way. Like, what are we gonna do from age, let's say, 35 to 90? Yeah. If we want to live till you're 90 years old, what's gonna get you out of bed? No, we were lucky. We got into the broadcast.
I loved when we played Jamie, and it was like there was all these meetings. Guys, while you're playing, I was like 22. They're like, there's businessmen in Raleigh, North Carolina that will help you maybe have connections or get set up for when you're done playing. I was like, I'm not meeting these guys.
And
how the hell am I going to meet? And I should have done it, but that's why we're very lucky to finish our hockey careers, and we got into broadcasting, and it's a great post-hockey career.
Well, it gets us out of bed. Like, that's the thing. Even there are guys, and now there's a different scenario because there's so much money involved in the game now. There are people that are retiring now that have a lot of money, enough to retire the rest of their lives, but they're going to struggle to have something. A purpose, something to challenge them. Now, they all have kids. It's a different, every person has a different scenario. I've had conversations with Jerome Iginla. You know, Jerome made a great living, but he has 3 kids that he wants to coach. That he wasn't around at critical times in their young age. So he wants to be there. So I think at some point he'll get involved. Chris Pronger's the same way. Chris is involved now in hockey as a special advisor to Florida. But guys do it on their own pace. I was kind of a guy, I think I was always, I'm always going to work. It gets me out of bed. I enjoy it. And in this scenario is great. But other guys, that's what's Kaepernick going to do?
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting because he was a household name anyway.
Exactly.
I mean, he played in the Super Bowl.
He'll be an activist, and I think he's going to shine a lot of light and do a lot of good things.
And by the way, on top of the $60 or $80 million settlement or whatever it is, he would get a boatload of money for speaking engagements.
Yeah.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, again, Nike, there's a whole campaign.
Yeah, Nike ambassador.
Him, and he's got a lot of money. He will continue, I would assume, to make money. But yeah, I mean, he's been outspoken.
Yep.
He's been, you know, he's been critical of certain people, and sometimes I think that goes a little bit over the top. The whole Super Bowl thing, where if you don't perform at the Super Bowl, or if you do perform, you're against him or something like that. That was too much for me.
Yeah.
But he's going to go down in history. Like, Colin Kaepernick is a name that will resonate in the sports world for the rest of our lives. And when you think of Kaepernick, you're not going to think of him playing.
His playing career.
You're going to think of him kneeling, and then what happened afterwards. And
was
now,
Eric Reed's even name? Like, Eric
Reed's
a part of it.
Eric Reed's connected to it, too.
But his name isn't as big.
No, because Kaepernick was the first one.
Right.
You know, well, Kaepernick was the guy that was the story. It was all Kaepernick, and he was the quarterback, and he was the one that came out and explained it, and I think the camera spotted him first.
Right.
You know, and because of the position he plays, also it made it that much bigger of a story. Everyone knows Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
All right, Future Headlines is brought to you by our friends at 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Go to 1in100.net. Since we're in Vegas, this is more future bets than future headlines. Where would you put your money? If you had a cash, let's say you had a $100 chip, future headlines or future prop bets, future bets, whatever you want to call it. The Leafs win a round or the Raptors make it to the Eastern Conference Final? Leafs win a round or the Raptors make it to the Eastern Conference Final? Which future bet would you make?
I think I'd go Raptors. I think they're going to put it together and kind of make some hay. No more LeBron in the East, and I think they're going to do some damage. I'm going to go Raps.
So you got them winning two rounds over the Leafs just winning one round.
Well, it's kind of a difficult question because I'm not implying that the Leafs won't do that either.
I know. Yeah. They both can happen, but if you have to pick
both
one.
Both of these teams could be in Eastern Conference Finals at the same time.
That would be exceptional if it could happen. I mean, the city would be buzzing. But
and my only concern is we don't know matchups. That's the, you know, if it starts today, is it the Leafs get Boston, right?
Well, and I think that's probably where it's trending. Montreal right. lost again last night. Not that Montreal isn't still within striking distance. Right. They are, of course. But
I would lean, my instinct's saying Leafs, but I'd have to know that matchup. Like, so I'm going to go with Raptors just to be safe, because I think Raptors, I mean, everyone you talk to, even outside of Toronto, we sat with my buddy Joey, who's an L.A. guy and a huge basketball guy, was like, man, the Raptors are, you know, like, there's buzz about the Raptors outside of Toronto.
Yeah, and the Marcus Gasol acquisition right, really like that, added to that.
So I'll lean Raptors just, I don't even think that's safe money, but I just want to, I'll steer away from the Leafs until I know who their opponent is.
Yeah, I think it's really close.
Yeah,
I
it
do.
Is.
And listen, the opponents matter with the Raptors, not so much in the first round, but in the second round when, you know, are you playing Philly, are you playing Boston? You know, if they play the Celtics in the second round, that could be trouble. Like Philly, they've kind of owned. I think they can own Philly, regardless right. of Tobias Harris being there and Jimmy Butler. I feel good about the Raptors against Philly. And I know Boston, there's been turmoil. There's been a lot of turmoil, and they haven't played the way we expected them to. But I think they're capable of getting there. So, you know, Raptors-Boston in the second round is a bit of a different story. But I think the safer money is probably on the Raps, because also when you look at the odds down here, and we've been talking about it, we've been in the sports books, the Raptors at the MGM anyway are only paying even money to win the East.
Yeah.
Like even money to win the Eastern Conference. The best odds ahead of Milwaukee, I think, was at 2-1. Boston and Philly were 3-1 or 4-1. And then no one else is even close, because everyone knows it's going to be one of those four teams. It's either Toronto, Philly, Boston, or Milwaukee. The Leafs were paying 3-1 to win the East. So only Tampa had better odds, so to speak.
Yeah.
So the Leafs, you know, Vegas, take that for what it's worth. But the odds makers out here are saying, we got Tampa ranked number one to win the East, the Leafs number two to win the East.
Right.
And in the NBA, they get the Raptors as the team that they think are going to win the East, based on the odds. So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, Toronto, the sports scene's in a pretty good spot.
We have got to get back to our pregame order.
All right. We'll come back and we are going to play our drive-through material. We'll play the audio one more time. We'll break
I was
down
thinking,
the
it's
whisper.
So pathetic. I was thinking, like, we get a nice, like, salad, like, big salads and chicken on them. No. And we just completely...
disgusting.
What we did overdrive things. That's what we did. Like, let's be honest here. We did what this show is basically expected to do. Like, we weren't going to go off the beaten path.
I was thinking, like, a big sushi tray, surprise the boys.
No way. No, not happening. So we'll play that audio. We'll put a wrap on Vegas. We've had a blast down here the past couple of days. The wedding was a resounding success.
Yeah.
Flower Man, Ring Boys, Noodles, you and I. We were rocking things out last night at the Little Chapel.
I don't understand. Cool. Like, you guys looked at me. Did you not say, hey, like, fix your hair? Apparently my hair is a gong show.
Well, it was windy outside.
No, I know, but it's like, I don't know. Well, you guys looked at me for the whole night, and then after you're like, hey, your hair is a joke.
I never said that afterwards.
It was windy just before you came in. Like, we're not going to stop you walking down the aisle going, hey, fix your salad.
I didn't notice it when we were outside.
I noticed it a little bit, the swoop. The swoop was flapping around a little bit like Strutty's hair.
Noodle sewered you a little
bit. No, I didn't, because I thought it would calm down, or I thought you would have given yourself like the hand push over top.
Why didn't you give it a twirl on the way in?
It could have been fixed.
Get the five-finger comb out and just figure it out.
I'll tell you what, I pulled just a gross move today. I was going to shower up before work, and I just said, piss on it, I'm buying a hat. Went into the gift shop, Vegas Golden Knights hat.
So doesn't matter.
Have you showered in Vegas?
Yeah, once.
I took a bath, but I learned
before
a hard
work
lesson.
Yesterday, I showered.
It's day three.
We heard some
changed?
Bad. Yeah.
What? Have you changed?
What are you talking about?
Commando.
You have the same grubby outfit you wore to the airport.
I know, but I've showered a few times.
Yeah, I mixed in a shower before work. I'm just going to fire one up before dinner tonight.
I had a buddy that we went on a bachelor party to. We were in Nashville for 3 days. This guy literally didn't change. And this
like
is the,
passed out, woke up, back at it.
He had a lobster, like, polo golf shirt on. So everyone, like,
knew him.
You're going down Broadway for 3 straight days in Nashville.
Like, there's the guy
there's
in
the lobster shirt guy. Never changed. And here's the best part. On the way out, he's panicking because we're checking out. He goes, I don't know where my bag is. I haven't even been in my room. Because I can't remember what room I'm in. I just chucked my bag when we got here, and I never came back in
so
my room.
So you know he hasn't brushed his teeth.
Nothing.
He hasn't done shower.
Nothing.
Same underwear. They've probably disintegrated. He's commando now.
This guy had a great time.
These Calvin Kleins are, if there was a balcony in Vegas, they would be flying out of them.
You would be, you'd
right
be
in the garbage
instead
can.
Of chair girl, you'd be underwear boy.
Yeah, we need you to go viral.
Underwear boy.
Underwear boy.
No, because
there's no balcony though, or I would toss them off and
that would
ruin
cause
someone's life.
Well, that would cause a city shutdown.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
We wouldn't.
Yeah,
have
we don't
that.
Want to do that. Well, and she turned herself in. We forgot we didn't get to chair girl, and of course she's an Instagram influencer, whatever the hell that means.
She's a dope.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, we'll come back, put a bow on Vegas. We will play the audio of our drive-through material from earlier. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. Overdrive continues live from Vegas, TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline live from Vegas. I'm going to hammer these at the sportsbook real soon. Brucey Boudreaux guaranteeing playoffs for Minnesota. Guaranteeing it. Yep. Starts tonight with a big win. I'm on the Wild. I'm on Edmonton and Carolina.
Are you?
Yes. They're not going to lose every night.
Yeah.
They're going to win games. You said I didn't catch the game the other night in Pittsburgh.
They
but
did.
You said they played well.
They deserve better fate, but, I mean, you know, it's Carolina's desperate, but you're right. I could see
I'm
them
on
win
Edmonton
it tonight.
Tonight.
Why don't we go
it's
back and watch that game and have some chicken fingers and fries?
What do you think we're doing?
Well, you claim you're going to nap.
Are
we
going to have to have a nap?
I'm thinking nap, but we'll figure it out. And I'm on Boston and Anaheim. And we watched that game, the Anaheim game, Vancouver game. Anaheim's still brutal. It doesn't matter who's behind.
Yeah, they
the
won 1-0.
Yeah, and Boston.
Boston's Boston.
They're on a heater. I'm on Boston tonight. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. All right, so we've been in Vegas doing shows here. We had the wedding last night, Chad and Ashley. Shout out to them. They're incredible. Their families, friends, everyone. They're really good people. We had a blast at the wedding chapel. It was really cool. And at the game last night was a real highlight as well. There were so many Leaf fans and a lot of friends of the show coming up and saying hi. It was really cool.
Stop and chat. Yeah, it was great.
It's really been a blast. And then today we made a new friend in the cab. We picked up a cab at the MGM on our way over here to ESPN Deportes. And we had big plans. Like, we're thinking, okay.
Sushi, sandwich platter.
Gordon Ramsay's got a spot down here. Wolfgang Puck. Best chefs in the world are represented in Vegas. Here's what we decided to do.
With cheese.
Quarter pounder with cheese meal.
Coke.
With large fries as well?
With a Coke with that.
Okay.
Yeah, large fries. No, what do you want?
A quarter pounder with cheese, 6 nugs, barbecue sauce.
A quarter, and then another quarter pounder meal. With an additional 6-pack of McNuggets.
What's it? Quarter pounder combo?
Yeah, combo. Yeah. Large fries.
Do you want anything? I'm fine, thank you.
Diet Coke?
That's
Diet Coke with that.
Okay.
And then another, 6-pack McNuggets. And you guys good? And that's going to be it, please.
Okay, so I have 2 10-piece chicken nuggets combos with a Diet Coke, 2 quarter pounder combos, 1 with a diet and a regular Coke, and a
10-piece
nuggets by
itself.
Is that
right? Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. 3 for 3.
And the cabbie was not impressed.
No.
He didn't want anything to do with that.
But
or us,
was
that
he
matter.
Tricking us? Because we asked him if he wanted something, and he said flat no. No thanks.
Do you want to hear your ask? We've isolated the ask.
Yes.
Do you want anything?
Why? It's like you're whispering in his ear.
Well, yeah. You were going back and forth trying to straighten it out. I wanted to be courteous and see if the cabbie wanted to feed, too.
Right.
And I could tell he did.
He was a hungry gentleman.
Yeah, yeah. He had some Mark's Work Warehouse trousers on. It was some New Balance. And he was hungry.
Yes, guy.
Yes, guy.
He was.
Shut these mics off. We're out of here, Vegas. It's been a blast.
No, it's not. We are not going anywhere.
What?
We're extending this segment.
Yeah.
You got to point out what the lady's coming in here with. We just spotted
she
her.
She has, the lady that is doing an ESPN Deporte show after us, has a giant bottle of disinfectant.
It's like a 4-gallon jug.
Yeah.
She brought in.
She's coming in, hazmat suit.
Ghostbusters, just spraying the room.
That's right, Ghostbusters.
How about Daniel McGranahan's face when he walked in? He's like, oh, God, it's like dirty McDonald's in here. It's so embarrassing.
I know. But we couldn't even deny it. We're like, yeah, that's exactly
what
it is.
Well, the door flies open. The smell, it was like a punch in his face.
Yeah. This place, I never want to see this room again.
Ever. I cannot work
we'll
in this
heat. We'll be back
heat.
In 1 year.
I'm
one
suing,
year from now,
I
we
hope
will be
so.
Calling a
I'm
show
I'm suing TSN
you.
For making me work in these conditions and buying me a new pair of underpants and jeans.
Let's all get home. Maybe a shower.
Yes.
Maybe a nap.
Maybe not.
Take
or
the chair.
Maybe not.
Oh, take the chair with you and put it in the parking lot.
No, right. On the road.
It has been a blast down here. We want to thank Mark Mullen. Mullen,
first
great stuff,
star
buddy.
Of the week.
Yeah, Mullen's Miles. Been outstanding. Our buddy Grappler back in the studio. Keith, Al, Joe Nars has been
great
doing.
Great job, Al.
Spectacular work back there. We miss you guys back in Toronto. We're out of here. Vegas, calling our name.
Yeah.
We're back Monday.
Hang on a sec. We got to say this in Spanish because we're leaving ESPN Deportes. Go ahead, Hazy.
I don't know how to say this in Spanish.
Cuatro? Is there four?
Yeah.
I don't know. What
we're
the hell
back Monday at
4
p.m.
We'll chat then.
You want anything?